sing a chorus as we go into the scripture this morning. I'm going to have you turn with me to John chapter 14 in your King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, we'll get you one. Amen. All right. We're going to sing the chorus, "Keep On Walking by Faith." Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Think about it. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Once more. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, we certainly need to get excited about what the Lord has done for us. Amen. I'd like to welcome you to where many are called, if you are chosen. It's better than being where many are cold and a few are frozen, right? You know, the church world today is quite dead. It really is. And I don't think we need to be getting involved in dead rituals and vain repetition. We need to get into the Word of God. Let the Lord stir our hearts. You see, salvation doesn't come through a church. It doesn't come through any kind of a structured system at all, but it comes directly from God's throne to your heart. People look in all the wrong places. They really do. You can reach out and find Jesus Christ anywhere, anytime. And I encourage you to do it. Amen. What we're going to do this morning is begin in John chapter 14, but first we need to call upon the Lord and ask that He would give us ears to hear. Father in heaven, we humbly approach Thy throne, O God, knowing that we are helpless without Thee. Without Thee, we can do nothing. We have no ability without Thee, O God. But Lord, by Thy strength and by Thy help, by Thy might and by the glory of Thy name, we know that we will prevail. Lord, give us exceeding great faith this morning. Faith for miracles. Faith for healing, faith for salvation. O Lord, I pray that by Thy Spirit Thou wouldst move upon us. Remove all doubt and fear. Let every unclean spirit and every force of darkness and every hindering power be driven out from this place. And let the power of Thy Holy Spirit, even the Holy Ghost, indwell us, sweep over our souls. O Lord, endue us with power from on high. Stir our hearts and souls, O God, and help us to respond to the impetus of Thy love. Lord Jesus, we yield ourselves unto Thee. Give us ears to hear and help us to understand that we might magnify Thy name together. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. We are in John chapter 14. We're going to call this message, and it won't be obvious why I gave it this title until later on. We're going to call this message, "The Shout of a King." The Shout of a King. In John chapter 14, Jesus gave us some very timely words because, as you know, the condition the world is in is not good. And there are a lot of people, I hear from them all the time, I get many, many letters. I had 150 letters on my desk yesterday. Try to wade through that. It takes a little time. And then the phone rings, and I'll tell you what, if you don't think I'm busy, follow me around for a day or two, and I'll give you some of my work. But anyway, there are so many people writing to me and telling me how they're depressed. They're fearful. They're troubled. They're challenged. And they don't know what to do. And of course, many people are claiming to be Christian, and I don't want to doubt anybody. If they love the Lord, I'll believe it until I see an opposite manifestation. But there's all of this concern and dread and fear and worry and depression and all these heavy things that the devil will throw on people. But Jesus said, and take his words as being words of power. He said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. You know, there are many things we could be troubled about with everything falling apart all around us. But we look beyond all of that. We look to the promises of God, which are sure. Listen, if God makes you a promise, it's good. Amen. And that promise of salvation, that promise of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, does not the Word of God tell us the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call? And if you wonder why I get excited, I feel the Spirit of God flowing. I believe what I'm telling you today. I'm not up here to give you some kind of a speech. I believe what I'm saying. I believe what I'm reading. I believe what I'm hearing from God, and it excites me. There's nothing in this world that is going to sustain you. You need God today. Don't walk out the door without Him. Come on. Now, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Has my heart ever been troubled? I'd have to tell you, yes. I've had to go through many, many things in my life. Difficult things, horrible things, things that challenged me. Sometimes you wonder, how am I going to ever make it through? But something carried me through. I'm shouting the victory today. Amen. Don't worry about where you have been, and don't let the devil trouble you about what you have done or your past life or whatever. Don't let him do that. That doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You can't build on that which God took from you. So don't even think about it. Amen. Where are you today? Where are you right now? Hear the words of Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Why? He'll go on and explain that. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places, right? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He makes it personal, doesn't he? He didn't just say for all my people or for them. He said for you. All right? Take it personally. Jesus has gone. The reason he ascended into heaven, one of the reasons is he's gone to prepare a place for me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You know, they took a poll. There's certain different outfits that do this. Among all the ministers preaching today, right now, today, all over the United States, and they found out that a full 96% do not believe that Jesus ever rose from the dead. Now, what are they doing standing up there in that pulpit if they don't believe Jesus rose from the dead? And that, yes, they might as well go home. They'd be better off. In addition to that, they don't believe he's coming again. Isn't it amazing? Why bother? Might as well join the Moose Lodge or whatever other animal lodge you want to join. Elks, moose, eagles, and all junior masonry anyway. But I believe he's coming again. Yes, I've had it with this world. There's nothing in this world that I want. I just want the Lord. Amen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, I love this. That where I am, there ye may be also. That's what he said. You know, there are people that go to this church and that church and whatever church they want to go to, and some of them feel like, well, I raised my hand, I received the Lord as my Savior, now I'm saved. And now that I received the Lord as my Savior, now I'm saved, I can't do anything to be lost. I didn't have to do anything to be saved. Now that I am saved, I can't do anything to be lost. Which makes them wrong on both ends, which means they're wrong in the middle too. Come on. I'm not talking about receiving the Lord here. I'm talking about the Lord receiving us. He said, I will receive you unto myself. He's the one who does the calling, not us. We love him because he first loved us. He gave his life a ransom for many. Ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I hear people say, I'm so glad I chose to serve the Lord. You did? The Bible said nobody's ever done that. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that would call upon him. There is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody would call upon God until God called upon them first. You didn't do it. He did. He said, my glory will I not give to another. And certainly, he's not going to give his praise to graven images. I have a problem with any building I'd walk into that's got graven images in it. I got a problem with the Catholic Church. I got a problem with the Lutheran Church. They got graven images. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven above or on the earth or under the earth. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. No graven images. I got problems with Chinese restaurants for the same reason. Walk in there, there's a big fat Buddha, you know? They got real food set out in front of as if that thing's going to snarf it up. Huh? I know some of you might like that kind of Chinese food, and it's between you and God. I can't walk in one of those places. Besides that, I think it's a whole fifth column. Did you ever notice these Chinese restaurants all over the place? And there's about five times as many people working in them as there need to be. How many of these guys are guerrilla warriors, huh? When's the day going to come when they flip the signal and all of a sudden they poison everybody and tie up all the emergency equipment and then grab their guns and start doing their thing? Hey, I tell you what, I don't trust them. I'm not afraid of them because the Lord's taken fear out of my heart. So we don't live in fear. We shouldn't get into fear. But we should be wise. We should be discerning. We should ask questions. Well, this little Chinese restaurant down the street here, what do they need 40 people working there for? Huh? They're all over the place. Now, I'll tell you what, there's strange things going on in our country. Had you noticed? Strange things. But our God came to give us victory and peace. Now, you might be thinking, and I told you, I warned you before, you won't understand the title till you get near the end. What does this have to do with the shout of a king? Just wait, and we'll find out. Jesus went on, by the way, he is the king of kings. He said, I will come again and receive you. He will receive you. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, he was speaking from his heart. He said, we don't know. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, where does that leave the Muslims, Mr. Obama? Come on. Obama believes the Muslims are all saved. He'll save anybody, you know. He'll put the saved word everywhere. However, whatever it takes to further his cause. But if you don't come through Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You don't save by being a good person, because there are no good people. Every one of you out there, myself included, are rotten to the core. Come on. We are evil, born in sin. In Adam's fall, they sinned it all, right? Every one of us lost without Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep. The lost sheep of the house of Israel to save them. And he is also a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. Amen. Amen. All right? So he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I still cringe when I think of that Dome of the Rock mosque over there. Up on that hill, up where Abraham was about to offer Isaac and God stopped him by sending the angel, remember? And then to put that Dome of the Rock, that Islamic mosque up there with the inscription, God has no son. Now come on, Barack. How can anybody like that be saved? God has no son? What is Antichrist? Those that are opposed to him, those that have another instead of him. We need to have a clear definition here. We live in a world right now where they want everybody to stop thinking. Just kind of mix it all up. Just have a brain salad, you know? Tossed salad at that. Mix it all up. Everybody's saved. You're okay. I'm okay. We all just put on a smile and smile at each other. We're okay. Huh? And the fact is, we're all lost without him. And we're saved by him. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. In other words, when you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Well, well. Let's read on. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He's saying to Jesus, if you will show us the Father, that's all we need to know. That'll take care of it. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? What's he saying? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You're looking at him. That's what Jesus was saying. Remember that scripture in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name. See, he is the one who governs, right? And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. Now think about this, that little baby cradled in Mary's arms, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, held in the arms of a woman. Come on. We're talking about the Almighty God manifested in the flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, the flesh of God, not part of God, but God in the form of a man who still fills all the universe, but nevertheless was embodied with that human body which grew, which later on suffered pain and died. He died for us. and for our salvation. We have to understand who he is. And Jesus looked at Philip. Philip, have I been so long time with you? How long have I been with you and yet you haven't known me? And he identified himself as the Almighty right there. And then Jesus asked the question, how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He did things that no man could do. And he's still doing them. I don't care how convincingly the devil will try to lie to you. God is still God. He's still compassionate. He's still merciful. He still has an outstretched arm. If you will believe him, you will receive the power of God to take care of your problems. People give up too easily. You know, they get into despair. Oh, I better find some help. God's not going to help me. I'll go find somebody to help me. If God doesn't help you, you don't have any help. I felt the frustrations too. I felt them. I also know this, and I work with a lot of people. If somebody ever gets mad at God, they're going to get mad at me too. That comes with the territory. And I pray, Lord, why is that person upset with me? Why are they mad at me? And the Lord lets me know they're mad at me. That's why, and you're going to get it too. And that holds true of any Christian. If you're going to witness for God, if you're going to do the Lord's work, no wonder the Bible says the laborers are few. A lot of people can't handle the field. Come on. We need to do a good job in that field. It's like they talk about farmers. I had an uncle who was an excellent farmer. Just an excellent farmer. You know how I know he was so good? Because he was outstanding in his field. Well, okay, it's true. I remember him standing out there. Anyway, our Heavenly Father gave us a wonderful and glorious example of his love when Jesus Christ came and did what he did to save us. Jesus said in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Look at what was being done. The deaf ears were unstopped. The dead were being raised. The blind were given sight. He hasn't changed. People don't call on him enough. Depend on him enough. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, now believeth there with that ETH on the end of the word believe, when you add an ETH there, it means a continuance. It's constant. It's ever flowing like a river. You never stop believing. He that believeth, always keeps it. They keep on and on and on and on believing. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Not greater in quality, greater in quantity. All of God's people should be the recipient of his Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, there come 9 gifts with it. To be used as God directs. Those 9 gifts of the Spirit that most churches today say aren't here anymore, where'd they go? What date was it when they stopped? Come on, come up with a date. They don't have one. Oh no. All those gifts are in operation somewhere right now. Let's let them operate in us. Amen. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. See how that all works together? He expects us to obey him. We are to be obedient. And we can have faith. And you know what? When you are obedient to God, something happens to you. You feel the inner working of the Spirit of God, and He begins to work a peace in your heart and a comfort. We need that, don't we? Then you won't have to get depressed. Then you won't have to get all fouled up in your mind. I know the pressure is great. You know, and when I speak sometimes about Barack Obama, the rest of the bunch aren't any good either. So it's kind of like this. I can't get in any trouble for two reasons. Well, I'm always in trouble, but you know what I mean, extra trouble. You know what it's like to be in trouble all the time? I really am. But I'll tell you this, that I don't take any political sides. The whole works is rotten. Find me an honest politician. You better look far and wide. They're all a bunch of crooks. So I don't have any political parties or favorites or anything. They all need to repent. Take one good look at Rahm Emanuel once. Boy, I'll tell you, it's like looking at, you know, I don't think that he'd scare the devil himself if the devil had to mind to look at him. And you know, it's amazing. Here you got, before, remember when Barack Obama was running for president? Way back there. He's just getting started. And people were saying, the day that he is president, it's the days that pigs will fly. And so now he's been in office 100 days, and I've been looking around to see if there's any pigs flying, and sure enough, swine flu. Huh? F-L-E-W. Yeah. You know, they do mix the, I can tell you about that swine flu. By the way, this is a test. It is only a test. If it were an actual flu, it would, you know, you'd know it. But anyway, this thing is purposely mixed together in the laboratory. They planted it here and there. You can tell just where they planted it. They stuck it down in Mexico first because so many people down there have had tuberculosis. They're susceptible to it. And they were the ones who received the immunizations the most, more than anybody else. Now, I talked to my friend in Australia, the doctor, and you remember him, he was here. And he had access to the government websites, the toxicology and virology websites of our federal government, because he is a qualified MD. In fact, very qualified, because he doesn't practice regular medicine anymore. He does natural medicine. You know, he turned honest. All right? And he said that the only people who are really susceptible to getting this flu are those who have been immunized within the past 5 years. It's like a magnet. They've been set up to receive this one. This is a test. They're seeing how people are going to react to shut down all these schools and all these businesses and all over the country. And they're fear-mongering to you. Fear, fear, fear. Be afraid. It's going to get you. This is the pig flu for you. You know, only pigs can get swine flu. You can't transfer it to people. It has to be purposely altered. And they did that. Why? Because they're a dirty bunch. Because they're conspiratorial. You know, it's hard for good-minded people to think like them. That's why so many people don't believe it. Hey, who would be so vile and evil? People die from this stuff. What do they care? One of their own said that a good plague every 10 years or so, of course they moved that up now and shortened it, would control the population. He said it would be unpleasant, but what of it? Bertrand Russell. And then you've got Maurice Strong, who is really, really a big wheel in the United Nations. He said when he dies, he wants to be reincarnated as a virus so he can infect as many people as possible and kill them off to preserve Mother Earth. These are the people running the show. What kind of a brain operates that way? Listen to what they're saying. People are walking in abject ignorance, many of them willfully. Well, Barack Obama got up and made a speech the other night, Wednesday night I think it was, and he was talking about his first 100 days in office. Oh, what 100 days it has been. Look at the country. Change. How you like it? There's no dollars left. There's nothing but change. But I'll tell you this. He was on this. There was a program, and of course, I only heard about this because I don't watch these programs at all. I've got a player at home that plays DVDs and things, but I don't get programming in. But anyway, I was informed that Barack Obama was going to be on, and the program that was preempted to get him on was a program called Lie to Me. Now, this program is something about where they have a lie detector, elaborate lie detector set up, and they get volunteers to come up and hook up to this lie detector, and they ask them all kinds of incriminating questions, and they have to answer it. It's for entertainment purposes, right? Lie to Me. So here, they preempt it, but the programming that was set up in there, it kept the caption on the screen while he was standing and talking. Lie to Me. Huh? So, you know, how much more appropriate can it get? Woo! You know? Another one of these little signs. So, besides the pigs flying. Now, I'll tell you what. We are in a time when there is such distress in the world. People don't know where to go with this. What to do about it. Pressure everywhere. People are walking the streets. They've lost their jobs. Chrysler has about had it. Of course, Fiat is going to buy a big share of them. The government will have some of them. They're in Chapter 11 now. Fiat, of course, that word means fake. Did you know that? Fake. Phony. Boy, where did they come up with these names? That's like, remember the General Motors, that car, the Nova? Remember the Nova? They never could sell that thing in Mexico because Nova in Spanish means doesn't go. Who wants to buy a car that doesn't go, right? They really don't think things through very well, do they? I notice things like that. I've got a degree in marketing, in business administration, that I picked up a while back when I was many years ago. But, you know, it's an interesting study to see the mistakes and how they're made. But I know that people are struggling. More and more places are closing up now. They discovered they gave the banks a stress test, and they didn't pass. All of the biggest banks, and they said not only did they have toxic debt like we thought, but it's three times worse than we thought. Now, I had this old credit card with a $30,000 credit limit on. My credit score is 839. It only goes up to 840. I don't know why they didn't make it 840. That's okay. My wife's is higher than mine. Traditionally has been. But anyway, you know, these banks, well, we have this credit card, $30,000 credit limit, zero balance, because I haven't paid a penny of interest for 12 years now. I don't pay anybody interest. I don't have any debts. No mortgage, nothing. Which is why I can live on just a little bit of money. I don't have to pay the bankers, the banksters, all this interest. But anyway, they sent me a letter saying that based on my credit score, they had to cut my credit line from $30,000 down to $15,000. I thought, fine. In fact, I called them and said, cancel it out altogether. I don't even use it. Who wants it? But, you know, they're trying to come up with these excuses. See, when they extend a line of credit, that's a liability to them. They got all that potential debt out there. Even if it's not on the books as far as being used, it's still an obligation on their part. So now you find the banks are cutting credit lines, they're cutting these, and they're bringing a lot of them down below. People are over the limit now. By bringing their credit line down, they throw them over the limit, charge them fantastic rates, you know, for penalties and so forth. There is nothing more crooked than the credit card industry. Except maybe Congress. They're always trying to be the good guys, you know. But I'll tell you what, in the House of Representatives, they are constantly getting us in more and more trouble. Always. We need to understand there's only one who is on our side. In this world, you are the common herd. You are the num-nums. You will be taken advantage of. Have they ever done it to you? Have you ever felt like a victim in this economy? They keep getting you over and over and over and finding new ways to do it. And is it by accident? Do these things just happen to happen? Remember the words of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who said, carte blanche, he said, if it happens, you can bet we planned it that way. 32nd degree Scottish Rite Mason. But he actually told the truth that time. Wow! Yeah, they slip out sometimes. He was a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Mason, and of course, his successor, Harry S. Truman. And now the S stands for nothing, by the way. Did you know that? He had no middle name. He just stuck an S in there. It just sounded like it flowed nicely. Harry S. Truman, 33rd degree Mason in the Scottish Rite. And when he was running for president, he was questioned by a reporter. Somebody actually had the nerve to ask him this. He said, I heard you are a Mason, and Masons have secrets, secret society. Harry S. Truman said, I am a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Mason, and I'll be damned if I know any secrets. Do you think he might have to answer for that? Do they do anything in secret? Do they have secret handshakes, secret passwords, a secret agenda? I've been in their lodges. I was in the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C. Had a tour through it. Sat right up in the Grand Master's chair and rebuked it in Jesus' name. Come on. I used the word Jesus, and that Grand Master, he said, we don't use that word around here. They might call him J of N or Adonai, but they will not say that name. They won't touch it. It offends them. And they're afraid it will offend their Hindu brothers and their Muslim brothers and so forth. Oh yeah, there's a lot of secrets. There's too many secrets. They're not telling you much, only what they want you to know. And they won't let you think unless they tell you what to think. And you can think about what they told you to think. But don't think outside of the box, right? You might discover something. And that's what shakes them up. People are discovering there is a conspiracy. It's the way of Satan. It's the way of evil men. If you get a bunch of evil men together anywhere, do you think they might conspire? Any of them. Not just the La Cosa Nostra or Mafia. Get any group of these characters together. They'll start working their chicanery. Oh, yes. Evil men conspire because it's the way of their master, Satan. So we need to understand that. But Jesus was making it clear that, yes, these things are in the world, but he gave us a peace and a joy and the promise of overcoming power. And I'm going to get into that shortly. But I want you to understand the words that he's saying here. In verse 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, and I read this once, I'll read it again, he that believeth on me the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Can you do those works without the Holy Ghost? And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Can we believe it to the point where it'll happen? If ye love me, keep my commandments. I like that. If you love me, keep my commandments. I saw something made me sick the other day. There was a guy who looked like an overgrown hippie, you know, one of these. There's still some of them around in Madison. Driving down the street with a can of beer in his hand and on a bumper sticker said, honk if you love Jesus. No, the Bible doesn't say honk if you love Jesus. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I was walking up State Street. You know, on Fridays, I like to go down and pray against the evil. I stop in front of some of these places. Lord, send thy wrath upon this. Shut this place down. Who needs occult stores anyway? And all this other nonsense. And I walked past the Triangle Market there in State Street, and a couple lesbians walked out. And it was obvious that's what they were, because they were, I'm not going to tell you what they were doing. But I gave them a look that would have curdled the milk. I gave them a look, and they looked back at me, and they started after me. They were just waiting for me to say something. I didn't have to say anything. Because, you know, what they do is they'll go and call for a cop and say, harassment, harassment, you know. There was a man who was witnessing to a homosexual guy down in Madison. Just witnessing, telling of the love of God. The guy called for a police officer. They arrested him, took him to court, fined him $7,000. Called him a homophobe. These people are, you don't have to say a word. Just give them a good look. Give them a good righteous stare. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You don't have to say a word. They can't get you for a look. Not yet. But they were coming after me. I just ignored them. Let them think about that look I gave them. They were clearly upset. Amen. There's more than one ways to witness, you know. More than one way. Sometimes that's all it takes. I ruined their whole day. Good. See, down there, I mean, everybody, yeah. Oh, that's all right. Coexist. Everything's fine. You know, what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah, he can do here. And it's going to happen. Verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. You see, the Holy Ghost will comfort you, that he may abide with you forever. Isn't that awesome? I've got a comforter that's there at night when I lay my head down on my pillow. I've got a comforter that's there in the morning to help me when I face the day, the coming day, whatever I have to go through. The comforter is there. And he said this and made it very clear to us. I will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You mean the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth? Why? Because everything in this world is a scam. It's a lie. We're supposed to be the good guys, and the other nations are all supposed to follow our lead. What if every nation in the world was like us? Many of them are, because we have put our influence over there. Think about that. We're supposed to be the examples, the shining, sterling example to the world. But you know, we don't have any problem butchering babies wholesale, do we? University Hospital? Come on. Surgical Center, they voted to kill babies up to second trimester. 5 months, they're killing babies. In the operating rooms down, come on. I can tell you things, I can give you a list of things that make you sick. I don't need to do that. You know things are wrong. You know everything is horrible. And I'm going to tell you this, it's all right to know that. I wouldn't dwell on it constantly. I would dwell on the fact that God has given us victory. This world cannot receive your witness. This world cannot receive truth. This world has no capability of receiving truth. It doesn't fit into the scheme of their lies. It conflicts. There's a smash up there. You understand what I'm saying? All right? And Jesus said it very well. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, hear it now, and shall be in you. How many of us have had God dwelling with us for a long time, but he's never really come in and fully taken control? Let it happen. Open the door. Cry out to God. Shout with a voice of triumph. Let him come in. It's wonderful to have him with you, and yes, he's with you. But he said, I shall be in you. Now, when that happens, you're going to know it. Nobody's going to tell you any different. There is a great and marvelous event that happens. You know, some people, they go to these churches and they're just oblivious. Oh, you mean there's actually a God that would do something like that? Ah, I can't be, you know? Some people can, you know, they really can't see the woods because there's just so many trees in the way. Right? And people in their unawareness, you know, it's, I always get a kick out of this, you know, they produced this diary of King George of England, the one that was reigning during the time of the Revolutionary War. And he had a diary. Every day he wrote in it. And on the night of July 4th, 1776, you know what happened then, right? He wrote in his diary, "Nothing of any consequence happened today." Well, he didn't know yet that that was the day that the colonies, the 13 colonies, declared their independence. And from that came a six-year war, concluding in 1782 at Yorktown. And Washington, of course, he was the most losing general the world had ever seen. He kept losing, 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 losing. And the only reason we won at Yorktown is Jean-Baptiste de Rochambeau, that's French, came with his army and defeated Cornwallis at Yorktown. Washington got all the credit for it. But anyway, the war was over. But nothing of any consequence happened that day. It's still in his diary. They actually have it, you know, get a kick out of that now. You look back on it. But he didn't know yet. They didn't have telephones or telegraph or any of that stuff. Well, how many things have happened that we might not be aware of? How many promises did God give that maybe nobody's ever told you about? Are we living below our privileges? Is there more to this? Are you going to say, "I've got all I can get, there is no more"? Don't ever say that. There's always more in God, always. And the world can't receive it. But Jesus said in verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He's going to send us the Holy Ghost, and then he identifies himself as the Holy Ghost. "I will come unto you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye are in me, and I in you." Inseparable, walking in the light of God, you see? Isn't that wonderful? "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Isn't that an awesome thing? He's giving us the flow chart here. If we want to see the manifestation of God in our lives, this is how to do it. That doesn't come through a church membership. And you won't get that by kissing the Pope's ring. Huh? "Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, the other Judas, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Is it possible for some people to get this but not the world? Hey, do you think the world understands what I'm saying and what you're believing right now? Do you think that, is there anybody in this world that wouldn't get it? Not very many do. "Jesus answered and said," and one of the reasons is religion. Religion gets in the way. You know, years ago they asked Gandhi, remember Gandhi of India, Mahatma Gandhi, Mohandas K. Gandhi? They asked him the question, "What was the greatest hindrance to Christianity coming into India?" And his answer was, "Christians." In other words, they're all phony. Missionaries that came in, all these people, phony. He realized there's something more to it than what they had, and he knew they were false. He said they were the biggest hindrance to their own cause. "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he'll keep my words." Isn't that great? And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We're going to live there. Not in that building, inside of those people. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Does the world give you any peace? Well, you know, they've got a false peace. They talk about it all the time. There was an organization put together in San Francisco back in 1945 called the United Nations. San Francisco, way over there on the left coast. I think that's what it is, the left coast. Yes, the left coast, as opposed to the beast coast. Now, out there, they put this thing together. It was to ensure everlasting peace. It was copied, the charter was copied word for word from the Soviet Union's constitution. Right? Then they flew it over to New York, all the way clear across the country. Stopping off first in Washington, where nobody bothered to read the thing except for two senators, and they're the only ones who voted against it. It's almost like the stimulus package. Nobody read it. How could they read 1,000 pages in 2 hours? Have you been had? When will people wake up? Oh, wonderful government. Oh, they're going to take care of us. They're crooked. If they're going to do that, they're going to stick it to you some other way. Let's just use the plain old vernacular here. They've never given us a reason to trust them. Hey, should we send them a copy of this? No, they know. They know. They've got my email tapped over there. I'll tell you what, when Dr. Atkinson sent me that email telling what he read in their website, he said immediately after that, his password disappeared. He couldn't get back into the government site anymore. His name was missing, totally non-existent. But he has a colleague who gave him his password, his name, so now he can get back in and check him out again. The Lord always provides a way, doesn't he? Hey, these people exist. I've locked horns with them. I'm not up here theorizing. I'm talking from experience. Now, should we be fearful? And I know I'm talking to people who believe these things anyway. And it's hard for people to really get a grip on it. Because with it comes a certain amount of uncertainty. And will cause you to be prone to fear and tremble. But there's no reason to. Because the Lord sustains us always. He's in charge, not them. The Lord knows what He's doing, and He's looking for people brave enough to rise up and speak out. I don't think the Lord appreciates cowards. You might as well just go for it. Be a witness. Cry out. Who will rise up? You might say, I don't want them interrupting my life, though. Hey, they already have. They might get my number. They've already got it. A man wrote to me and said that he was going to take a part-time job, or temporary job, rather, as a census taker for this 2010 census. I think he's given it up now. He was a little rattled. He said when he was in their training course, they handed out everybody this little piece of equipment that operates by satellite. Okay, it's a GPS system. They said when you go to everybody's door, remember the old census takers had the old book, you know, or they send you a form to fill out. Now it's not a matter, everybody's front door has to be visited. They specified front door. When they get to the front door, they lock in the coordinates onto the satellite. In fact, the guy training, doing the training, the government man, when these people looked at him and said, wow, they're going to know every detail where you live, you know, and he said, there's going to be no place to hide. Now, the Constitution says they got a right to count heads, but they don't have a right to know how many rooms are in the house and all this sort of a thing, and they want to know everything because they're building a database. That's an invasion of privacy, but what else is new? Should that worry us? No. If they need my address, I'll give it to them. We just cannot allow ourselves to get into fear. Come on. Be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them the gospel. But they're tapping your phone. Give them something to listen to. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the blood. Come on. That'll drive those devils nuts. They can't stand to hear about that. When I say devils, I'm talking about spirits that get into these people. You know, there are millions and millions of demons. Where are they? Jockeying for power and position, right? Do they like the halls of government? Do they like the universities? The atmosphere of academia? Do they like that? They like to hang around and dwell inside of these people that walk in pomp and circumstance up the aisle with a hooded robe and a square Masonic mortarboard hat and get their sheepskin and advance their wisdom by degrees. Do they like that? Oh, boy. Isn't it something? No, the Lord was telling us in many words here about the Comforter, leaving peace with us, not such as the world gives. And he said he had to go away for this to happen. Why? Because he'll send forth his Spirit. Now let me show you something here very quickly. In just one verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it's verse 7. Hear this now. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Have you ever felt the spirit of fear? I have. It's a very challenging and daunting thing. Spirit of fear. God didn't give you that, which means you have victory over it because God is with you. The greatest battle I've ever had with fear was the night that I was near Salem, Massachusetts. Had just been fighting all the witches over there. On the 30th of October, a full moon was coming. Friday night was coming. We left town just in time to get away from the display that was going to be put on in Salem by the Sisters of Eternal Damnation, which was a coven sponsored by the Salem Lutheran Church and the Salem Baptist Church. You might say, what? Yep. Unthinkable! Well, they grabbed Harry Potter right away, didn't they? When are we going to open our eyes and see the reality of it? The churches in our country have been demonized. Come on. Stay in the Bible. You listen to what they say and it's outrageous. The lies that they're perpetrating. Come on, wake up. This is not the country you were born into. It's different now. It's changed. None can deny it. The Antichrist powers are rising up. The whole world has gone mad, but Jesus will hold you in his hand. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Turning quickly, I don't have a lot of time left, but turning quickly back to Acts chapter 16, going all the way down to verse 16, Acts 16, 16. It says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. Notice that, they used to pray in those days. As we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. Notice, she was possessed. Possessed! She could tell fortunes. She could look into your eyes or look at the palm of your hand and look at your lifeline and your heart line and all your other lines. And right? She could read your horoscope. She could tell if you were a Aries or a Taurus or a Gemini the twins or Cancer the crab or Libra the balance scale, Sagittarius the archer, Capricorn the goat, Aquarius the water bearer, Pisces the fish, Pistachio the nut. She had a spirit of divination, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Made money on her. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." That wasn't her message. That didn't belong. That wasn't for her to say. She was possessed with the devil. She was attracting attention to herself, to her powers, to her ability. And yet she could not control herself. "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit." Did you ever talk to a spirit? Hey, you don't know what you're missing. Come on. You got a right to. Out in the name of Jesus. Come on. He said, you know, spirits are afraid you're going to talk to them. They're trembling that you might do it. Well, I don't care how physically weak you are. I know that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. It's time to get into battle with these things. "Turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone." Notice she lost her ESP and now she couldn't do it anymore. Why? The Spirit was gone. Isn't that great? That was no gift. That wasn't ESP. Some power she had. It was a demon. All right? "They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." Oh boy, now they're getting the government involved here. You can't have these people around. They're not in harmony with the government. "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes," that was for show, of course, "and commanded to beat them." Christians being beaten? Oh, should that ever happen? Christians aren't supposed to suffer, are they? "All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You could be slandered, I have. You could be shot at, I have. All kinds of things can happen to you. Toughen up. Come on. Some people hang their head, "Oh, they're talking about me, they're talking about me." Let them talk. People always talk about you. There's nothing you can do to keep them from talking about you. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Imagine all those stripes hitting their back. Beaten, 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 beaten. Then they give them to the jailer, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. He didn't lead them by the hand. He shoved them in there. Maybe kicked them in there. Pushed them in. Threw them down. Put their legs in the stocks. Backs ripped open. But there was no time for a pity party. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." They sang between the pangs. Their backs had to be hurting. They laid many stripes on them. They were in the stocks. They couldn't sit. They had to sit a certain way. There was a lot of pain involved. And the prisoners heard them. But they sang to God in the midst of all that. You know why? A church was being born. The church at Philippi. They were in a Philippian jail. Now watch what happens. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." That was the Spirit of God crying out through Paul. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Was God at work? This was a victory night. It hurt. They were in pain, but it was a victory night. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The next time you read the book of Philippians, you remember that book of Philippians is there because these men were in that jail cell being beaten and their backs were being ripped apart, but they still, because of the Holy Ghost in them, cried out to God. They sang to the Lord at midnight. And the song of their pain rose up unto God as a praise. And God worked a miracle of salvation. And that same man that thrust them in and threw them down and locked them into the stocks, that man took them and tenderly washed their stripes and fed them. The same man, little did he know when he was kicking them around and throwing them down and locking them in the stocks, that only a few hours later they'd be in his home and he'd be washing their stripes. By his stripes were healed. That entire family came unto the Lord because of it. Now finally, in the remaining few minutes, I've got to do this quickly, but we must do this. I'm going back to Numbers. Chapter 23. Verse 20, just a few verses here before we close. Numbers, and this is where we get our title from. In Numbers 23:20, behold, this is Balaam. Now remember, Balaam was hired by the king of Midian, or Moab rather, I'm sorry, the king of Moab. Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel. And every time he tried to do it, he couldn't. And now he says, behold, I'm on verse 20 of Numbers 23. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Isn't that great? He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Hear me now. Don't let this slip past you. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Was there iniquity in Jacob? Yep. Neither hath he seen perverseness. Was there perverseness? Remember how they complained all the time and worshiped the golden calf? All those things they did in the wilderness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. He looked at Israel, and when God looked at Israel, yes, he saw all the mistakes they made. He saw their sin. But from them would come the Savior. There was a shout of the king in the midst of Israel, even before the king came forth. It was there. God knew it was there. God sees all things simultaneously. There is no past, present, and future separately from God. He sees it all at once. He saw what would happen. The king was there present with them. When he looked at Israel, he could have looked at all their faults. When he looked at you, he could have looked at all your faults and condemned you. But there was a shout of a king in you. Why? Because he knew from the foundation of the world he would call you unto salvation. Hear it now. Neither hath seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. And the shout of a king is among them. The shout of Jesus was there before he was born. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely, there. Hear it now. These people that write to me and say, oh, the witches are casting spells on me. They're throwing occult stuff at me. What am I going to do? Hey, wake up. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. Do I get an amen somewhere?
Amen.
How can I curse what God has blessed, right? Neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Yes, when God looked at them out there in that wilderness, he looked into the future as well, for he sees the future as if it were present. And he saw the shout of a king. When Jesus hung on that cross and he was suffering and dying, paying the price for your sin and for mine, and all the way back to Adam, and all the way forward to the end of the world, as he hung there on that cross at the end, he cried out, it was a shout, it is finished! What's finished? He finished the transgression. He finished the transgression at Calvary. Just like it says in Daniel chapter 9. There was the shout of a king on your behalf. And that shout of the king dwells in you. Sometimes I think we better shout with him. The word of God tells us that he's coming again. Didn't we read that in John 14? What's he going to do when he comes again? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout.
Amen.
We need to shout. We're going to shout on the hills of glory. We better get used to it now. Is this too demonstrative for you? Or can we get with it? I've got the shout of a king in me. You've got the shout of a king in you. Shout! Glory to God. He's coming back again, and the sky is going to be filled with the shout of Almighty God. And this rotten world we live in is going into judgment. But you will be taken and received unto him. It's coming. It's almost here. Yes, God looked at Israel. He could have seen a million transgressions. But he didn't see them because he heard the shout of the king. It is finished! It's finished! Your sins are finished, paid for, taken away, cast into the sea of forgetfulness and dropped to the bottom like lead. And so inside of you, there's the shout of a king. As I walk down the street, I got something in me, the shout of a king. They may not know it. They may not understand it. I got the shout of a king in me. I might be sick. I might be laying in a bed, unable to hardly move, but I still got the shout of a king inside of me. Amen. And it's not measured by physical strength or weakness. It's still the shout of the king. That's what God sees. He hears it from Calvary. He applies it to your heart. He's coming again. And when he does and the trumpet sounds, he's coming with a shout. Oh, that the people of God would cry out unto their God. Hallelujah. Well, let's lift our hands and praise him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and praise him. Just reach out to Jesus right now. Ask him to come in. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to his name. The shout of the king. The shout of the king is in us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right. Just lift your hands and magnify His holy name. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let the power of God come down, O Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Just keep doing it. We're going to have Duane come up, lead us in a song or chorus. But we want to reach out today and let the King shout. Let the King shout. Amen. It's the shout of salvation and deliverance. Amen. Yes, glory to God.